Romans chapter 8, verse 33, Paul writes this: Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. This word justify, in one form or another, appears more than 60 times in our English Bibles. The word, if you look it up in the dictionary, it means to prove to be right or to prove to be reasonable. Spiritually, it means to be made righteous by the Spirit of God, based not on ourselves, not on what we do or what we are or what we might be, but based entirely on the merits of Jesus Christ. It means to be declared innocent. I don't know about you, but if you see yourself as a sinner as I do, that's quite an amazing thing. You see, God demands perfection, absolute perfection, in all who stand before him. Angels who were cast out with Satan never had the opportunity of redemption. Never. They never will have. The other angels are perfect, and they are welcomed into the presence of God. And the children of grace, sinners like you and me, who are redeemed by the blood of the Son, are welcomed in the presence of the Father because of him. He just demands that we have peace, and that justification is applied, which assures the absolute innocence of every believer who stands before God, wrapped in the perfect righteousness of God's appointed substitute, the Great Shepherd. I want to bring you a message tonight, if the Lord will help me, that I have entitled simply, The Justifier of the Redeemed. Now, first of all, we want to talk about what this word justification means. It is, first of all, the foundation of Christianity. It's the spring of life. It is the declaration that God declares sinners to be righteous and accepts them, not in themselves, but in his Son, completely. It is produced by God's free grace, and it makes you and me who are in Christ worthy of acceptance. People are accepted all the time by folks who are not worthy. We were talking a while ago about some of those folks that hornswoggle you. They're not worthy of being believed, they're not worthy of being accepted, not worthy of being helped. And you're not worthy either. But the Lord Jesus Christ has made us worthy. The basis of our acceptance is Christ's absolute satisfaction of divine justice. When our Lord of glory hung on that cross and said, "It is finished," it was finished. The ground, he is the ground on which the sinner is accepted by God, and the only ground. The ground of Christ's satisfaction was not made to you or me or to the world, but it was made to divine justice. Jesus did not die to satisfy you or please you. He did not die to satisfy the Roman generals and the Roman emperor. He died to satisfy God. He suffered as a righteous man, but he satisfied as only God could satisfy. the method of our justification is simple. It is the imputation to us by faith of the righteousness of Christ. Now, I don't know if you've ever had anybody mess up into your store accounts or anything like that. Back years ago, I don't know if people still do this or not. Maybe some people do, but they used to be. Everybody had charge account at the store. You know, you go down to the store, get a loaf of bread and a quart of milk and three-fourths slices of bologna, and they'd put it on your ticket, and at the end of the week, you'd settle up with it. And sometimes they'd get messed up and put it on the wrong ticket. And my oldest son and I used to have accounts at the same bank. It might be better now, but it didn't work then. I was broke all the time. I was putting money in the bank, and they were putting it in his account, and he was doing good, and I was up the creek. God justifies us by crediting us and counting to us the perfect righteousness of Christ. I get thinking about how imperfect and flawed I am. Sometimes I just think to myself, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Every justified believer is absolutely certain to inherit a place in the glory of God. Every one of them. I know folks have all kinds of discussions and jokes and stories about somebody lives in a cabin and somebody lives in a mansion, this, that, and the other, and there used to be an old song about build me a cabin in the corner of glory and all that stuff. Listen, if you got what you deserved, you'd be in the depths of hell. But you're going to get what you deserve based on the righteousness of Christ, and that's got to be a pretty good thing. When God verifies, when he justifies, he fully sanctifies his redeemed people. People talk about sanctification as if it's something they do. Not so. Not so. We are sanctified because we're justified. God justifies us in Christ and declares us to be perfect. I know that doesn't fit good with people's theology. It doesn't fit with some people's religious ideas. It doesn't fit with their morality. It doesn't mean here's what it fits with. It's the truth. I believe that with all my heart. Now, there's an ultimate end to justification. The ultimate end is that God will receive abundant praise from those who've been declared innocent. Enough of this stuff about folks in heaven hanging over the banister watching us fumble around down here. They're too busy praising the King. They're too busy glorifying the one that's worthy of glory. And that's what you're going to do when you get there too. Every justified saint is going to have a place there in God's glorious celestial city. I used to love to read John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. And old Christian, the closer he got to that city, the brighter it got. That's the way it is with me. The closer I get there, the brighter it gets. When God justifies the sinner, he fully sanctifies them as his redeemed children. They're his. He makes them to be his. Here's the second thing I want us to see about this. There's a relationship between justification and works. Turn your Bibles back. If you've got your Bibles with you, turn your Bibles back to James chapter 2. I want you to read this. James chapter 2 and verse 14. He says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Now, there seems to be a great misconfusion between many people about what works have to do with our salvation. I want you to know something, that works can never be a procuring cause of the justification of the soul. Never. I don't care how good you are, how bad you are, it has nothing to do with it. James, in this passage, repeatedly declares the reality of the relationship between faith and works. If there's real faith, there'll be real works. Don't need to explain it. Don't need to qualify it. It's just true. Works are the evidence that faith is present, but works can never, never purchase God's gift. It's a gift. You can't buy a gift. If you can buy it, it's not a gift. And if it's a gift, you can't buy it. And faith is a gift. And God gives it to us. And works are done not to get faith and not to make peace with God. They're done because God has done something for you already. There's no meritorious cause of justification in any human work or human effort. None. Abraham was justified long before he did anything. Abraham lived in Ur of the Chaldees. He was a guilty sinner. He was as vile as everybody else in that day. God appeared to him in a vision and said, "Boy, I'm going to give you a country. I want to make of you, I'm going to give you so many children to be more than the stars of the sky and the sands of the sea." And Abraham said, "What do I do?" He said, "Start walking." "Well, where am I going?" "You don't need to know. I'll tell you when you get there." Still amazes me when I read that. Abraham served God for hundreds of years. But he only served God after he'd been justified. And works manifest the presence of justification rather than procure it. You don't get justification because of your works. And you don't keep it because of your works. And you don't sustain it because of your works. God gives it. The Apostle Paul, here in the book of Romans, intends to convey to us that an act of justification is received by faith, it is evidenced by faith, and it is manifested by faith. And all faith is a gift of God. Now, what's the timing of spiritual justification? Well, first of all, justification is a single act. It is not a series of progressive steps. It is not a process. You don't get, "Well, I get a little bit of justification, and tomorrow I get another more. Tomorrow I get a cup full. The next day I get a half a gallon. The next day I get a pint. The next day I won't do good that day. I go back to a cup." And eventually you get up to having a swimming pool full. Justification is something God does. And he does it one time. It's a single act. I was as justified, I was as perfect the moment that God saved me as I ever will be. It's an instantaneous work. It's not continuous. If you're a believer tonight, you are no more justified right now than you were the first instant that God gave you life. Not one bit more. It's not intermittent. It doesn't come and go. Now, your senses of it may be, your consciousness of it may be, but justification is there. See this ring? I lost this ring for 35 years. It was in the cabinet in my kitchen, in an envelope. I turned the house upside down trying to find it. All the years I didn't know where it was right there. In plain sight, except for that envelope. More so than that, justification is mine even when I don't know it's there, when I can't find it, when I've sought it and I come up empty, when I pursue it and I am vain, it's still there. It's an instance. It's the very moment that the heart is indicted and drawn to trust Christ. That's when it happens. And I'm not one of these people. I don't hang on the past or the present too much. I want to know where you are right now. But I'll tell you this much. If you've been justified, you are justified right now. And you've been justified for a while, and you're going to be justified for a long time in the future. It's a timely event that serves God's designated purpose and satisfies God's intent. He intends to justify his people, and he will justify them. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. And then Paul asks this question, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who? And then he goes on, he writes, you know, the next 8 or 9 verses, telling you all these things we encounter in life. We all do. You say, they can't do it. Nothing can do it. Let's talk about the nature and the benefits of justification. This majestic blessing from God, and it is a majestic blessing. It's so exciting to be justified. It's instantaneous. It's always an act, never a process. God makes some people understand it and reveals it to them slowly. You know, there's some people are blonde. They have to have things slowly revealed. But God reveals this to some people slowly. Other people are very conscious of it. I remember when God saved me. I wasn't sure exactly what he'd done, but I knew something had happened. I mean, it was drastic. Everybody around me knew it was drastic, and the longer it went on, the more drastic they knew it. It's instantaneous. It's an act. It's everlasting. You know, there are things that get reversed. I know a lady's been married 13 or 14 times. She's got divorced, and she's had them annulled and had them reversed and this, that, and the other. And you can't do that with justification. You didn't do it. You can't get rid of it. You can't throw it away. And I tell you what, if you're really justified, you don't want to. I want to make sure I make that clear. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who? Who can do that? It's God that justified. He did it. Justification is free. I mean, it doesn't cost you anything. And not only means it doesn't cost you anything, it also means it's unlimited. It's broad as it can be. It's as far as the east is from the west. It's gracious. I'll tell you something else about it. It's unemotional. God's not an unemotional being. But what he does because he purposes it. Not because it gives him pleasure. I'll tell you something. Now, you can think about this. I could go on a long time, but I won't. God will not enjoy condemnation of souls in eternal justice. But he will condemn them because it's right. And he'll get great joy from justifying poor sinners that are just as guilty, if not worse. David was a man after God's own heart. If you had a neighbor that was an adulterer and an admitted murderer, a liar, a thief, a guy that would act crazy and do this, that, and the other, I don't know about you, but I'd move. He's a man after God's own heart. Justification is declarative. It'll show itself. And it's judicial. The word justify is a legal term that indicates that the believer has been identified as innocent and righteous. Men can say whatever they want to about me or you. But as long as God looks at me and says I'm innocent and righteous, it doesn't make any difference what they say. There are some great benefits that come to us from divine justification. First of all, it restores us to the favor of God. I'm telling you, when Adam fell, he fell. He didn't skin his knee. He didn't break his fingernail. He didn't tear the heel off his shoe. When Adam fell, he desperately fell. Justification takes every one of God's covenant people and wraps them up in the righteousness of Christ and draws them back to God. That's sweet. It imputes to every believer the righteousness of Christ. How righteous is Christ? You can answer that you a lot smarter than I am, because you probably are anyway, but his righteousness is perfect. That's how perfect my righteousness is. In him. He procures adoption for the elect of grace. Galatians 4:4 says, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons or of daughters." We're his. We're adopted. It provides total freedom from the curse of the law based on the merit of the Son. One time, Johnny wasn't very big, riding down the road. He said, "Daddy, Daddy." I said, "What?" He said, "You better slow down." I said, "Why?" He said, "There's a state cop right behind us." Now, John wasn't going but 50. He said, "Well, it don't make any difference. There's a state cop behind you." You see, John hadn't learned yet that if you're not breaking the law, you don't worry about how many state cops are behind you, or how many are in front of you, or how many on each side of you, or above you. Justification gives us total freedom from the curse of the law because of what Christ has done for us. It supplies peace with God as a benefit of Christ's atonement. The Lord Jesus went to that cross as a substitute. He went there as a surety. He went there to bring us at one-ment with God. And he did. Amen. Then God's sovereign act declares his elect people to be not guilty. Not guilty. I don't even want you to answer this, but I want you to think about it just for a minute. Do you know anybody that's not guilty? I don't know anybody that's even close. I have known some people in my life that I had to stop and think about it, but not many. Justification has to do with righteousness. Not the righteousness of a man or a woman, but the righteousness of God Almighty. All men and women are unrighteous before a holy God. Every one of them. Every one of them. And only a merciful God could possibly deliver human beings from condemnation that is not only fierce and harsh, but well deserved. I saw on somewhere yesterday, newspaper, internet somewhere, that some man, they had found out that he had been arrested. He'd been in prison for 27 years on a rape charge, and they found out that his DNA didn't match. He couldn't possibly have been guilty. That man's been in prison for however many years. I wonder how many times he's thought about that. I'm here and I don't belong here. I don't deserve to be here. I'm not worthy of being here. I want to tell you something. Now, you may not believe this, but I hope you do, because it's the truth. There's not a single solitary soul in hell tonight that doesn't know that they're guilty. Not a one. Justification is an act beyond the capacity of any human activity. It's based completely on what Christ has done for sinners. He declares believers to be made righteous, not in themselves, but in the worthiness of Christ. He's worthy. He's worthy. I think my bulldog is ugly. I was watching a video today. I don't know why I was watching it. I just happened to get connected to it some way, of the bulldog class at the National Dog Show. There are bulldogs that are uglier than mine. A lot of them. And they're in a dog show. There's going to be a lot of saints in heaven that are more worthy than I am in my flesh. But there won't be one more righteous than I am. Justification is a free gift from God given to chosen sinners. Nobody deserves it. Nobody's worthy of it. It's a gift. We come to justification by faith. God gives us forgiveness, and He gives us righteousness, and He gives it by means of faith, which is a gift. He changes the heart. He does a heart transplant. And He implants in that new heart faith that can trust Christ and will trust Christ and will keep on trusting Christ. He accepts changed hearts as righteous based on their faith in Christ. That's the only reason. I never forgot a fellow. Years ago, I was in a Sunday school class. Fellow was teaching the class one day. He said this. And I challenged him about it. He said, if I get to heaven, I'll get there by the skin of my teeth. And I was stunned. And after Sunday school, before church, I went up to him. I said, I'm not trying to stick my nose in your business. But I said, mister, if you get to heaven, you're going to get there by the merit and the worth of Jesus Christ, or you ain't going to get there. And it offended him. I think that fellow stayed mad at me the rest of his life. He's dead now. He knows better now. Well, yeah, he knows better. One way or the other, he knows better. God removes all causes for fear from the heart of a believer. Now, I'm fearful, and I'll tell you, I am fearful. I'm fearful of the world I live in. I'm fearful of the people around me. I'm fearful in the circumstances of our society. I'm fearful of the decline of morality. I am fearful of the destruction of the church in our time. I am fearful that men have stopped preaching the glory of Christ. But I'm not afraid of God. Justification brings us into a perfect union with God through His Son. Through His Son. I walk with Christ. I trust in Christ. I rest in Christ. I hope in Christ. It assures every believer of eternal life. I'm not afraid to die. I tell people that all the time. They look at me like I'm crazy. I hope God will give me the clarity of mind to maintain that when the time comes for me to die. But I've never been afraid to die since God took that fear away several years ago, because I know that He gave me eternal life in His Son. And there's nothing this world's got that I won't hold on to that much. Justification is the basis of true happiness. Justified people are happy people. They are. They really are. They're happy and they have joy that's not temporal, it's eternal. In this world, we have joy that's here today and gone tomorrow. We have joy that's here under certain circumstances and it's not here at other times. I tell you, the people who have been justified by faith, they have joy that's eternal. It doesn't wait. We're not waiting for heaven to have that joy. We're not waiting for death to have that joy. We have it right now. And then God is the giver of this perfect and eternal justification. And all of the triune Godhead are involved in justification. All of them are. God the Father designed and purposed the believer's justification before time began. He designed and purposed everything that happens. God the Son has purchased and procured the justification of His saints in His life, at His death, and resurrection. And God the Holy Spirit is the implementer of faith and draws us to justification. I remember when God first saved me, there was a preacher that came to me and he said, "I don't understand what's happened to you," because he said, "I tried my best to draw you to Christ." And I said, "But you didn't have the right tools. You didn't have the right tools. The Spirit of God did it. Wasn't hard for Him. Did it in an instant. Did it in a moment. Did it without me wanting it. Did it without me seeking it." God must always deal with humans on the grounds of strict justice. This is important. I mean, listen to this. This is important. God, by His nature, must be holy. And He declares men to be guiltless and to be sinless, not by their works and not by His kindness, but by His matchless grace. Because He is the holy God, all demands for an infinite satisfaction from sin are satisfied in the worthiness of His Son. That's it. He requires total and absolute perfection, and He will not accept anything less. Nothing. Nothing. Based on Christ's work, it's perfectly just for God to forgive the redeemed. God's not going to lose any of His glory, not going to throw aside any of His character. He justly redeems His covenant people. Our justification was accomplished by God's eternal decree to save us. That's it. And we're fully justified by our Lord's atoning death at the cross. When He said it's finished, it's finished. He wasn't just talking about those Roman soldiers and those gossiping Jews and those vagrant riffraff that hung around the cross when he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He's talking about you and me. Every believer is justified by the Holy Spirit in conversion. And I tell you something that I don't understand, and I didn't understand it a long time ago, and I still don't understand it. I don't understand how men and women in this world seem to think they're at peace with God and they've never been touched by the Holy Ghost. I don't understand that. But the child of grace verifies what the Father and the Son and the Spirit have done by the display of their lives before men. And in conclusion, good works are a humble submission to the holy will of God. We do what's righteous. We do what's right by God's standard, even when it's strange to men's standards, because we're justified. Justification makes believers love other believers, caring for those who are the objects of love. One time I was in Jerusalem, and I was at the garden where the Garden Tomb is, and there was a group of people that came in there from a Scandinavian country. I didn't understand a word they were saying. And they were gathered over there, and they were having a communion service, and they began to sing. I think it was Swedish or Danish, one or the other. I didn't understand a word they were saying. But I found myself singing with them, because they were singing a song that I knew. And I sang with them in English as they sang in their language. One day we're all going to be in heaven. I think we're all going to speak one language. And we'll all sing, and everybody will understand it. And we'll all praise God, and we'll all understand it. And we'll all rejoice and give thanks, and we'll all know about it. Believers bow to God in providence, and they obey His holy will. You can't change God's will. I don't want to change God's will. God does things I don't understand. He does things that I can't perceive. And I used to have trouble with that until God taught me that He was God. And now whatever He wants to do is okay. I'm with Him like that big old black lab dog I used to have was with me. He didn't care what I did, as long as I let Him go with me. That's what I want to do. I want to be with God. Whatever He does, okay. We serve Him in self-denial and in sacrifice, but we do it for His perfect glory. I found these two lines in an old song, and I think they fit. He said, "Near, so very near to God, nearer I cannot be, for in the person of His Son, I am as near as He." You know what I think about that? Wow. That's pretty good stuff. In the person of His Son, I am as near as He. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Amen.